For most elections, the state of Alaska caps campaign contributions at $500 from individuals and $1,000 from political action committees. But on ballot measures, money is treated as a form of free speech, so there's no limit. Spending on one measure dwarfs everything else on Alaska's August 26 primary ballot. One side calls it a clean water initiative. The other calls it an anti-mining measure. The mining industry, environmental groups, and at least one mystery donor have poured more than $8 million into the initiative. KTOO's John Ryan has the story.
Measure 4 would stop any new metal mining operations of at least 640 acres from releasing toxic pollutants into the water in amounts affecting salmon or human health. It would also stop the new operations from storing wastes in any way that could release toxic substances into the water. Bruce Switzer is a former mining consultant from Arizona. He's the chief technical advisor to the Measure 4 supporters. He says it's squarely aimed at one mine, the proposed Pebble Mine on Bristol Bay.
This would be the biggest open pit mine in North America. The overburden is all acid generating. Any mine that has been built in conditions that remotely resemble the hydrologic conditions of Bristol Bay has contaminated the surrounding water. And that's thoroughly documented.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game says Bristol Bay provides about a quarter of Alaska's commercial salmon catch, or about as much as all of Southeast Alaska's harvest. The advertising in favor of Measure 4 focuses on the Pebble Mine and Bristol Bay, but the measure itself never mentions them. That's because the state constitution forbids ballot measures that would affect just one part of the state. Here's Bruce Switzer.
It is not a perfect mechanism, but it was the only one that was available.
The mining industry says whatever the intended target, Measure 4 would shut down metal mining across the state. Lorna Shaw is the executive director of the Council of Alaska Producers. That's the association of companies that operate large metal mines. Let me read a little text from the measure. It says, Section 2 of this act does not apply to existing large-scale metallic mineral mining operations that have received all required federal, state, and local permits, authorizations, licenses, and approvals on or before the effective date of this act, or to future operations of existing facilities at those sites. So that seems pretty straightforward to me, that existing facilities would not be shut down or affected by this act.
That's the key. What's an existing facility? If you go out to an existing mine today, like Fort Knox, for example, you know, the mine's been there since 1996. It's 10 years old. That's an existing facility. But right now, today, they're constructing a heap leach project. That is a new facility at an existing mine. And mines, they don't have all of their permits and all of their facilities in place forever. Hopefully, to extend their life, they're going to be adding those new facilities.
The state's largest metal mines, like Fort Knox and the Red Dog, are well above the threshold of 640 acres. That's equal to 1 square mile. The Kensington Gold Mine, now under construction north of Juneau, doesn't have all its necessary permits, but the Alaska Department of Natural Resources says the mine would occupy about 550 acres or less. That would make Kensington, under its current plans, too small to be covered by Measure 4. Southeast Alaska's largest mine is the Greens Creek Mine on Admiralty Island. According to the DNR, the mine is about 500 acres. The Council of Alaska Producers says it's about 350. Either way, too small to be affected by Measure 4 without a major expansion. But Hecla, the Idaho company that owns Greens Creek, has given $1 million to fight Measure 4. Bill Olklaus with the Greens Creek Mine says measuring the acreage of a mine is difficult. He says the company is concerned the initiative could hurt their operations.
We have decided there are possibilities for effects from this measure. It's written so broadly and so disjointedly that the way it's applied in the future is not at all clear.
Measure 4 advisor Bruce Switzer says most mines can operate without running afoul of Measure 4, but the Pebble Mine straddles miles of some of Alaska's most productive salmon streams.
Under the hydrologic conditions that they're faced with there, it's going to be impossible to mine there without contaminating those streams.
You don't think that's true of other large mines and other...
None that are so far proposed.
Both sides of the Measure 4 debate accuse their opponents of scare tactics and deception. Both campaign groups call themselves Alaskans for something, but if you follow the money trail, the groups are largely not Alaskan. According to the Alaska Public Offices Commission, the so-called Alaskans Against the Mining Shutdown is funded mostly by multinational mining companies that operate in Alaska. The British and Canadian owners of the Pebble Mine have given about $4 million. The so-called Alaskans for Clean Water has gotten most of its funding from an advocacy group called Americans for Job Security, based in Alexandria, Virginia. According to the Alaska Public Offices Commission, Americans for Job Security gave $1.2 million. Measure 4's next biggest funder is investment banker Robert Gillum of Anchorage. He gave $250,000, according to campaign filings. Americans for Job Security did not return phone calls. The advocacy group usually funds advertising against government regulation and taxes. The group's website says Americans for Job Security doesn't disclose its funding sources. The organization paid for a series of pro-Measure 4 ads, saying the Pebble Mine would put fishing jobs at risk. According to public filings, the mining industry has outspent Measure 4's backers, whoever they are, by about 3-1. In Juneau, I'm John Ryan.